إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد أيها المسلمون عباد الله، as we mentioned last week, we want to study together a brief biography of the life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And so let us enter into the subject immediately this afternoon. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was born on a Monday. According to the vast majority of the scholars, that is the historians, they believe that he was born not only on a Monday, but during the month of Rabi'un al-Awwal, without specifying a day during that month. As we know, many claim that he was born on the 12th of Rabi'un al-Awwal, however, there is no sound evidence to show that he was born on that particular day. So what we know is that he was born on a Monday. Because when that Bedouin asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا تَقُولُ فِي صَوْمِ يَوْمِ الْإِثْنَيْنِ, what do you say about fasting on a Monday? He said, ذَاكَ يَوْمٌ وُلِدْتُ فِيهِ, that is the day on which I was born. So he was born on a Monday. And this is established. And Allah knows best, more than likely during the month of Rabi' al-Awwal, without specifying any particular day in that month. And his birth happened in a year known as Amul Fil. Amul Fil translates into the year of the elephant. And as many of us may be aware, the Arabs had a habit of naming a year based on an incident that took place during that year. So what is this incident that took place during that year in which the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was born? From the many different riwayat or narrations, we learn the following. That a king by the name of Abraha, and this is what most have concluded with the name of that king, although once again, there may not be any clear-cut sound evidence as to the name of that individual, but there are many narrations that do mention this name. Let's call this king Abraha, who was originally from Al-Habasha, Ethiopia. He was Abyssinian. But he was a governor over Yemen. And what he did is that he constructed a huge church which became known as Al-Qulayf. And the reason he constructed that huge church, obviously he was Christian. The reason he constructed that church is that he wanted to divert the Hajj, the pilgrimage that was being done by the Arabs to the Kaaba in Mecca towards this church of his. Now there would be many reasons behind that, amongst them economic reasons. Of course, with the people coming for pilgrimage, they would have to spend of their wealth and so on and so forth. Nonetheless, he built this huge church, and he wanted now to divert the Arabs. So instead of going to Mecca, to the Kaaba, to perform the Hajj, they should come to this church. And when he tried to force this onto the people, they didn't listen. They didn't listen. I mean, this was still from the remnant of the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Arabs are descendants of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And at the time, although they were idolaters, they were pagans, but they did have some remnants, some leftovers from the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and from those remnants was the performance of the Hajj. When the Arabs got wind of this, some of them were furious. And it is said that one amongst them was so upset, so furious, that he entered this church one night and he relieved himself in it to show this king exactly what he thinks of that church. So when Abraha got wind of this, he was enraged and he decided that he was going to force them to make Hajj, to do the pilgrimage to the church by destroying the Kaaba. He was going to take it apart piece by piece. And so he got together a huge army, and Najashi, the ruler in Abyssinia at the time, sent him a huge elephant. So this elephant could be part of that army. This was something unknown to the Arabs. And it is said that not only was there that one huge elephant, but there may have been several other elephants with Abraha in that army. And so he proceeded towards Mecca. His intent was to go and destroy the Kaaba. And on his way, he was confronted by different groups from amongst the Arabs. But each of them was defeated, and he took their leaders as hostages. He imprisoned them, prisoners of war. And one of them, he even had him lead the way towards Mecca. Then when he came to At-Ta'if, there the people said to him, listen, the Kaaba isn't here, because they had erected something of their own, where they used to worship one of their false gods. They said, listen, it's not here, it's over there. So keep going. And so he was led towards Mecca, and on the way, as we said, as he was confronted by groups, he defeated them all. His army was huge and powerful. As well, he stole some of the property of the Arabs, of Quraysh. When he neared Mecca, he sent a messenger into Mecca. He said, go and tell them, first of all, look for their chief, the leader amongst them, who happened to be Abdul Muttalib. And inform him that, listen, we haven't come for a fight. We are not here to kill you people. All we want is to destroy that building, the Kaaba. This is what we are here for. We don't want to harm you. And he said to him that if this man shows any type of resistance, just don't bother with him. Don't even bother bringing him here, because we can walk over him. We'll destroy him. There's no need for you to bring him for negotiations. But if you see that he's not putting up a fight, then bring him to me. So when this messenger entered into Mecca, he asked about their chief, about their leader, and they were directed towards Abdul Muttalib. And this individual informed Abdul Muttalib of the intent of Abraha. And Abdul Muttalib said, you know, we have no chance against them. It's not worth us fighting. So immediately he said, okay, then you need to come with me. So he took him towards Abraha, and when Abraha saw him, he was amazed, because Abdul Muttalib was the chief of the tribe, and he looked the part as well. His appearance, he was handsome, he was strong, he looked the part of a leader and a chief. So Abraha felt shy to make him sit on the ground before him while he was sitting on his throne. And then he said, if I make him come and sit at my level, that would be a problem too. So he decided, okay, this is what I will do. He decided to get off his own throne, and he sat on a carpet or a mat on the floor, and he brought Abdul Muttalib to sit next to him out of respect for him. And then Abdul Muttalib said to him, this is Abdul Muttalib speaking to Abraha, the man who came to destroy the Kaaba. He says to him, what about those 200 camels of ours? Will you not return them to us? So Abraha begins speaking, and Abraha says to him, listen, when I first saw you, wow, I was in awe of you. I had so much respect for you just from your appearance and knowing who you are. But the moment you opened your mouth, I lost all respect for you. I am here to destroy that Kaaba, that house that is part of your and your forefathers' religion. This is part of your religion. This is something to do with your faith. I came to do this, and you don't ask me about the Kaaba. You only ask me about the 200 camels. In response to that, Abdul Muttalib said to him, I am the Lord. In other words, I am the owner of the camels. And as for that house, the Kaaba, then it has a Lord. It has a Lord, it has an owner who will protect it. From amongst those things that Abraha also said to Abdul Muttalib, is that I've come here, because he was asked, so what exactly brings you here? So from amongst the things that Abraha said, is that I heard about this house, that anyone who enters it, anyone who comes to visit it, then they are in peace and security, they don't fear anything. So I have come here to instill fear in the heart of those who come to this house. This is how arrogant Abraha was. Then Abdul Muttalib returned to Mecca, and he said to the inhabitants of Mecca that, listen, we have no chance against this man. This is the house of Allah. And although they worship idols and so on and so forth, they still believed in Allah. They still believed in Allah. But they committed shirk. Alongside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they worship other things. They set up partners with Allah jalla wa ala. So he said, Allah is the Lord of this house, and he is sufficient to protect it. We cannot do anything. So he ordered the people to go around Mecca and to sit on the hilltops around Mecca. And as they were going, himself and another group of people went to the Kaaba and they clung to the door of the Kaaba, and they started praying, they started supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the Kaaba and so on and so forth. And then they also went and they took their places on the hilltops around Mecca. And then Abraha proceeded. Abraha came towards the Kaaba, and at the forefront, leading the army, was that huge elephant, and it is said that the name of the elephant was Mahmud. Until it came to a point where all of a sudden it knelt, and it wouldn't move. They beat the poor thing, but still it would not move. And then they tried to turn it. Perhaps it will walk if we face it in another direction. And they did. They faced it in all other directions, and it would move. And once again, when they faced it towards the Kaaba, it wouldn't move, it knelt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates this event for us in the Qur'an, in that famous surah that we know as Surah Al-Fil. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَّأْكُولٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to the companions of the elephant, Abraha and his army. Don't you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala foiled their plot and their plan to destroy the Kaaba? وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. Here we learn how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed that army. He subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them flocks of birds. And we don't want to get into the details of what those words look like and so on and so forth. It is sufficient for us to know that Allah Jalla wa Ala sent them birds in flocks who came carrying stones. And these birds dropped those stones on each individual from the army of Abraha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them look as though they were dried up leaves on the ground. So that army was destroyed. We recite this surah many times, and we don't know what the story is behind it. And now that we know the story behind it, it would not be appropriate for us to continue without looking at some of the lessons that we can derive from this incident. The story of Abraha, when he wanted to destroy the Kaaba. From amongst the most important lessons that we learn from this story is that the power and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limits. There isn't a single force, there is no power on the face of this earth who stands a chance against Allah Jalla wa Ala. Everyone and anyone who declares war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let them know that they will be defeated. Ahibbati fillah, think about this event. And I want you to think carefully. Who were the two parties that were involved? The one was a group of Christians, and the other were pagans who worshipped idols. If you want to think logically, which of the two groups was closer to the truth? Of course it was the Christians. The Christians, I mean if you want to think logically, were closer to the truth. They're both disbelievers, there's no doubt about that whatsoever. But the pagans were worse than the Christians. Then look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Kaaba even against those Christians. Allah Jalla wa Ala did not leave the protection of the Kaaba in the hand of those pagans, so later on they could not boast about it and lay claim to the Kaaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was certainly not going to allow the worshippers of the cross to destroy that ancient house of his, the first house that was established on this earth for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Jalla wa Ala took it upon himself to protect his house. And here a glad tiding. I have received many of those emails in which people are sending us pictures of the Kaaba and then some aircraft that are flying into the Kaaba. Before and after pictures. The after picture is of course that this house has been destroyed. I say to you at the top of my lungs, wallahi, thumma wallahi, it will never happen. Allah Jalla wa Ala protected his house from those Christians. And the custodians and the keepers of that house were pagans at the time. So do you think that today Allah Jalla wa Ala will allow the worshippers of the cross or any others on the face of this earth to come and destroy his house while its keepers and its custodians are muwahidun, those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wallahi, it will never happen. So take that fear out of your mind that they will ever be able to trample over the Kaaba. It is the house of Allah and He has taken it upon Himself to protect it. We said that the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limits, and that no one, once they declare war against Allah, will be victorious. We hear ourselves saying these words very often. But in all reality, They are no more than words that come from our mouths. These words are not coming from our hearts. Thus, the condition and the state of the Muslims today. This lesson has to be known to each and every one of us, and it has to penetrate the innermost part of our hearts. أحبتي في الله. Know and rest assured that if we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, we start behaving and acting like Muslims, once we start establishing the 5 daily prayers, once we start doing whatever we can to support this deen, this way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for us, once we stop with the lip service and we start putting the deen into action, rest assured that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to regain our honor and our dignity. Rest assured that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us the leaders on earth once again. This is how it will happen. This is the only way it will happen. We will be victorious through our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of the disbelief of the enemies of Allah Jalla wa Ala in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never did the Muslims win a battle. Never were they victorious because of their large numbers. I challenge anyone to bring me one battle that the Muslims had ever fought when they were victorious because of sheer numbers or because of the equipment that they had. Never has this happened. Although some may immediately say, but what about the Battle of Hunayn? The Battle of Hunayn, even then, the Muslims were outnumbered and they were outpowered. But they thought that they were large in number. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. During the Battle of Hunayn, the Muslims, they thought, wow, we're so many in number. Certainly these numbers will be the means of our victory. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disciplined them immediately. They started losing that battle. They turned on their heels. They were running away from the battlefield, to the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then had to rise up, and he stood and he said to them, أَنَا النَّبِيُّ لَا كَذِبْ أَنَا ابْنُ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to reassure them of who he was. أَنَا النَّبِيُّ لَا كَذِبْ. I am the Prophet and it is no lie. نعم. Only then did the Muslims start again to realize what was happening. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam reorganized them, and by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through their belief in Him, Jalla Sha'nu, they were able to attain victory. And then look back in history. Look back in history. What happened to all of those tyrants of the past? Did they stand a chance against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All of you are well aware of that man by the name of Fir'aun, who said to his people, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ. I am your Lord Most High. Fir'aun said to his people, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ إِلَٰهًا غَيْرِ. I don't know of any Lord, I don't know of any deity for you beside myself. And then he tried to support what he was saying. He said, don't I have this kingdom to myself? Misr? Isn't this under my rule? Don't I own all of its rivers that flow beneath it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made those rivers flow above him. Allah jalla wa ala destroyed him and his people. And what about An-Namrud ibn Kan'an? What did he say to the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam? Ana uhi wa umit. Look at the pride, look at the arrogance. He says to Ibrahim alayhi salam that I give life and I take it away. And we all know that he also was destroyed. Look at how arrogant he was. He was claiming to be Allah. أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتُ. I give life and I take life. And Imam Ibn Kathir alayhi rahmatullah, relates to us the destruction of that man, Namrud ibn Kan'an. As he was sitting there amongst his subjects, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that a fly, an insignificant fly, would fly through his nose and enter into his head. Just try to imagine a fly inside of your head. When it tries to fly and make the noise, it would drive you crazy. One of us, in the summertime, if there's a mosquito around us and buzzing in the middle of the night, imagine how you feel. So Al-Namrud ibn Kan'an would smack himself in the head. He would beat himself on the head until that fly would settle. Eventually he got so tired, he couldn't hit himself anymore. So then he would told his servants that were around him, he would indicate to them with his eyes that they should come and hit him on the head. And just as an aside, look at, the man was dying, and yet he was able to instill fear in the heart of his servants. This means that those tyrants that are out there even today, who gives them power? It is no one other than us. They reach the level that they have reached because of the fear that we have of them rather than of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala kullin. So he indicates to them, beat me on the head every time I give you the signal. So his own servants would beat him on the head. And eventually their hands were so sore that they had to pick up their shoes and beat him on the head with the shoes until he died. So you tell me now, who stands a chance against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This lesson is ever so important for us today, because today we fear those nations who are after us. They've attacked Palestine, they've attacked Iraq and Afghanistan and other lands, and we are afraid to speak even one word against them. Shame on us. We put our faith in them, and this is why we run to the United Nations. This is why we want the dialogue with them. Wallahi ya ikhwan, this will get us absolutely nowhere. But if you want to see a change, there is a way. The way for us to prepare ourselves for victory is by being Muslims. As simple as that. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. This is the promise of Allah Jalla wa'ala. And it can be read through our actions that we don't believe the promise of Allah Jalla wa'ala. We don't believe it. Say it until you turn blue, that you believe in the promise of Allah Jalla wa'ala, but they are nothing more than words unless you show it through your actions. The day we start waking up for Salat al-Fajr and have the intention of waking up for Salat al-Fajr each and every day. The day we start raising our children upon that. The day we offer our 5 daily prayers at their prescribed times. The day that our sisters start donning the hijab. The day we start abandoning dealing with interest, al-riba, by which we have waged war against Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The day we abandon all of those things that Allah Jalla wa Ala detests and start doing that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the day the Muslims will attain victory bi-idnihi Jalla wa Ala. From this event, as I said, we learned so many things. Amongst them is the fact that the Arabs were absolutely nothing before al-Islam. Who were they? Pagans. They used to worship idols. They had filthy habits. They killed their young daughters at birth. Allah Jalla wa Ala showed us that with their numbers, what were they able to do? Were they even able to defend the Kaaba, they were not able to do so. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had to intervene. So all this nonsense about nationalism and so on and so forth, we have to forget. You are nothing without Islam, just as the Arabs were nothing without Islam. Before Islam, who were they? They were never a power to be reckoned with. Always they were under, directly or indirectly, they were under the Persians or under the Romans. On their own they were absolutely nothing. This is yet something that we learned from this event. Don't forget also what happened with that elephant and how it did not proceed. We are reminded that everything in existence knows and recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the animals. The animals, they also respond to the orders and the commands of Allah jalla wa ala. But it is the arrogant amongst the human beings that do not, and the disbelievers amongst the human beings that do not respond to the orders and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These, as I said, are just a few lessons from the many that can be learned from this incident of the elephant, where Abraha and his army wanted to destroy the Kaaba. I hope that now, when we recite this surah, and how often we recite it, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. I hope that now we will start to ponder over some of these lessons. Really ponder over these lessons. So this surah now, when you recite it, make it a part of your aqeedah, of your belief and your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recognize the power and the ability of Allah jalla wa ala. Don't ever give up hope. Know and rest assured that you and I are all soldiers in that fight and that war against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't have to necessarily be with weapons. The strongest weapon that we have is our iman, our faith and our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe me, your salah is more powerful than the most powerful weapon that the enemies of Allah jalla wa ala have invented. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وعليكم أيها المسلمون بالجماعة، فإن يد الله على الجماعة ومن شد شد في النار. واعلموا أن الجماعة هي التمسك بالكتاب والسنة وبمنهج الصحابة الكرام رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. يا ابن آدم أحبب ما شئت فإنك مفارقه، واعمل ما شئت فإنك ملاقيه، وكن كما شئت فكما تدين تدان. ثم صلوا وسلموا على خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين، فقد أمركم الله بذلك في كتابه المبين، فقال جل من قائل: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه بها عشرا. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد، وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن سائر الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم زك نفوسنا أنت خير من زكاها، اللهم زك نفوسنا أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا. اللهم لا تردنا في هذا اليوم المبارك ومن هذا اليوم المبارك، إلا بذنب مغفور وسعي مشكور وتجارة لن تبور برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار. اللهم إنا نسألك في هذه الساعة، هذه الساعة التي نتمنى أنها ساعة الإجابة، اللهم إنا نسألك في هذه الساعة أن تنصر إخواننا المجاهدين في فلسطين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في فلسطين وفي غيرها يا رب العالمين، اللهم انصرهم نصرا مؤزرا. اللهم إن العالم كله قد تخلى عنهم، فلا تتخلى عنهم بذنوبنا وذنوبهم. اللهم إنهم حفاة فاحملهم، عراة فاكسهم، جياع فأطعمهم، خائفون فأمنهم، بعظمتك وقدرتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا ربنا شتت شمل أعدائك يا رب العالمين، اللهم اقذف الرعب في قلوبهم وزلزل الأرض من تحت أقدامهم، اللهم اخسف الأرض بهم، اللهم عليك بكل من عاون أعداءك يا رب العالمين. اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم، وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قوموا إلى صلاتكم رحمكم الله.